episode 5 of Off Air with the Q Crew. What up, everybody?
5 times we've done this. Yes. Wow, it's like a month.
Yeah, yeah.
More than a month.
More than a month. Yeah. But this has been quite a week.
Whoa.
It's been the longest week ever, especially when it comes to like entertainment news. And we're going to get into all of it. R. Kelly, Luke Perry, Michael Jackson. Mm. I guess let's start things with Michael Jackson, right?
Yeah.
So where are we at with that? The Leaving Neverland documentary aired.
Correct.
Fojo, I know you saw both parts and you saw the after show with Oprah.
I watched all 4 hours of the Leaving Neverland, including the other hour with Oprah.
Yeah.
I felt like it was necessary. Huge Michael Jackson fan. I think all of us in this room, Michael Jackson fans, we grew up watching Michael. We knew what he was about. We were there for, you know, it's not like we're millennials, you know, born in 96 or 95 or something. Like, that's our childhood. So watching it, very disturbing.
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
Yeah.
We knew about his, you know, his childhood, the story about MJ was his childhood was taken away from him, so he loved children. That's what we knew. That's what, like, always, you know, when he was walking around with Emmanuel Lewis, remember? And Macaulay Culkin, because, you know, he didn't have a childhood and he loved kids. He loved being around kids. But when you watch this documentary, very one-sided documentary,
right.
I should mention.
Right.
Okay. That's good to know.
It's very, very one-sided. It's disturbing, and you're getting the point of view from two boys who were abused by Michael Jackson, who, you know, allegedly said they were, and they get graphic, and yes, they get really specific about the
Which
stuff they were doing.
I didn't understand why they had to get so graphic with the detail of like the sexual acts, because in my opinion, you kind of I don't think it's about like what we know they got abused. Do we really need to know like every single little thing that happened? Like I feel like that was just inappropriate.
But I don't know. I think in a documentary setting, maybe when you're sitting down with that person who's interviewing you, if you want to be believed, I feel like if he remembers it like that, I don't know if I believe these guys.
Right.
I don't know if I believe these guys.
Right.
But regardless, watching it, it's disturbing. And to see the fact that MJ did want to spend all this time with these kids, like he went like consecutive days sleeping with these boys in his bed. Even if he didn't molest them, he was sleeping in the same bed with these boys for, you know, months on a time in his bedroom. When you're 35 years old and you have an 8-year-old in your bed, like, I was thinking about like this, like, think about when you were a kid, sleepovers happen like on the weekends,
right?
Can you imagine sleepovers during the week after week and the weekend? Like, just like, that's a little bit too much. I love playing with my friends, but I wouldn't even want my friends to sleep over in my bed that much.
Well, the toughest part is that your friends are 8 years old.
Wait, what do you mean?
Well, you're talking
if
about
you were 8 years old. Yes,
when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. If back then, when I remember we had sleepovers, and sometimes, you know, another friend would sleep in my bed, and the way we did it, like, my head were his foot,
right,
like that.
Yeah.
That's how we did it. You know, boys, at least. You know, maybe girls are different.
Yeah.
But we did that once a weekend, maybe. You know, one time during the week on a weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Michael Jackson was doing this 30 days in a row,
like his whole life.
Yeah. And then another thing that was weird too. Okay, if MJ felt like he lost his childhood, he lived his whole adulthood gaining it back, like.
Yeah.
Don't you think after maybe like 10 years, you got the childhood back? I don't know. Hanging out with all these kids.
Right.
I don't know. Listen, okay, I'm talking a lot, but it really, because I watched a little bit again, because I rewatched it with my wife because she didn't watch it. I watched it again, and it was a little disturbing even more. But it's just like, these guys were believable as kids, because both the guys in this documentary, because I know you didn't watch it.
Yeah.
Or one of them, at least, Wade Robinson, was Michael Jackson's main defendant, or main, he was the star for his case for Michael Jackson to be free.
Gotcha.
So,
but now he's coming out?
So now he's saying the opposite.
Right.
He was the main reason Michael Jackson beat the case, because he was like, he did not
touch
me. Twice. And he was super believable in court to the FBI, you know, to prosecutors. Super believable.
Even as an adult, he testified.
Yes, he testified when he was 11. He testified when he was 22.
Did they mention anywhere why this is taking place now?
because now they're saying, now that Michael Jackson's dead, now they're coming out and saying, oh yeah, I was abused.
Now they understand the trauma that they suffered. Yes. So now that's why they're coming out with their story. And like, for me, I don't want to say that they're lying. I think that when anybody comes forward as a victim of sexual abuse, like for them to put themselves out there for like to be vilified by the public, because you know people, especially with Michael Jackson, feel a certain type of way. I think that that takes a certain amount of strength. So I would like to believe them. However, some just don't smell right. Because one thing left out of the documentary was that both of the boys' moms were indicted on blackmailing Michael Jackson, like for extortion.
Yes. Oh.
And they left that whole thing out of the documentary.
So it's also absolutely one-sided.
And Wade Robson supposedly was trying to get a gig here in Vegas working with the This Is It, Cirque du Soleil, Michael Jackson show as like a choreographer or whatever. Yeah. And when that fell through is when he came out. And that's what the Jackson family is like, yo, like he wanted a job with us like 2 years ago. Yeah. And now he's saying he was abused. Like, what's going on?
And they didn't take any, you know, there's the Macaulay Culkins and the Corey Feldman.
Right.
Who are boys who hung out with MJ when he was alive.
Yeah.
Who are still saying, hey, Michael did not touch me.
Right.
And Michael beat two cases.
Yeah.
And for now them to do this while, you know, when he can't defend himself, it is messed up. But what I'm trying to say is it is super duper disturbing still.
Right. But Corey Feldman came out. First, he like sent a bunch of tweets out in all caps defending MJ.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, he kind of walked a little bit of that back.
What?
And said, this just happened last night. That although he doesn't defend Michael, he was walking it back saying that as a victim of abuse, he has to at least be open-minded to hear the stories about abuse from these young men. He doesn't want to call them liars.
He's
still kind of backpedaling because before he was like, you're lying, MJ's the greatest.
But he's saying that he didn't touch him.
Right, he's saying he didn't touch me.
Yeah.
But at first he was kind of going after the documentary and the guys.
Okay.
And now he's kind of walking it back saying, you know what, I have to be open to hearing other people's stories of abuse
because
as a victim, yeah.
That's fair.
So, CO1, you didn't watch it because...
Well, I didn't watch it. I purposely have not seen it because... You know, just as we've mentioned, and for many people in the world, not just here in the United States, growing up with Michael Jackson, to me, was one of the biggest parts of why I DJ, just in general. I was just talking to Bojo the other day. We were, just reminiscing on his music a little bit. And I told him that one of my favorite songs, no matter what, because it's one of the first things I've ever heard in my life, was Baby Be Mine by Michael Jackson. That song reminds me of so many different parts of my life when I was younger. It takes me to a certain spot, just like music usually does, right?
Yeah.
But Michael Jackson, to me, I mean, I have Michael Jackson tribute mixes that I've made. We've honored him so much. And, as much as I don't like talking about this, and I really don't, even though it reflects on what my DJ CO1, you know, I have a little bit of law enforcement background. My degree is in law enforcement. And, you know, I've always been told to just stick to, like, the facts, to kind of like the cliche, that just the facts, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's unfair that they were able to publish this or air something like this, having that the Michael Jackson estate is still out there, and obviously he's got family and friends, but being that it's so one-sided. I didn't know that. Now that Bojo is mentioning that it's so one-sided.
Well, you're definitely not going to watch it
now. Maybe I will watch it just because I also have to be open-minded about it.
Yeah,
But it's very tough that, you know, even when I was in junior high and it was a rainy day and they would keep you in the gym so that you wouldn't have to go out, and, you know, when it's raining, we would watch Moonwalker, the movie. Like, Michael Jackson has been such a staple, not just in music, but in life for so many people.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to think that something like that is going to be ruined. But I'm not saying that I don't want that to ruin anything for me. I'm just saying that it's going to be very challenging for me to try to accept the fact that this is going to happen or is happening because he's not even around to defend himself yet again.
Right. It's definitely a very bizarre situation, but I think one thing that I really understood after watching the Oprah part of it was Michael Jackson, like they say, abusers groom the people. They groom the children. Mm-hmm. They groom the family so that you never suspect them of abuse.
Right.
And with Michael Jackson, because of his backstory, like you said, Bojo, that he never wanted to grow up. You know, it was acceptable for him to have the pet monkey and to hang out with Macaulay Culkin and Corey Feldman and all these kids. Like, we didn't even question it.
Yep.
So Michael Jackson, in what they're saying is groom society
yep.
to accept him hanging out with these young boys. And when they go back and there was like footage of him
right.
on a plane and they're like, what's your favorite part about Hawaii? Oh, and he God. Was like, him or whatever the little boy's
hanging
name.
Hanging out with you.
And it was like, that's and crazy. They say that Michael Jackson like married them and he had a ring. There yeah. was like a wedding ceremony. So like aside from the abuse, it was just really freaking weird.
It was weird.
Weird.
Super disturbing. Another thing I wanted to bring up is there's a lot of young people who, you know, who appreciate Michael Jackson, yeah. love him and stuff. But our generation, I don't know if the world will ever see another superstar like Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
there's never
not.
Been anyone,
yeah.
any one person who was loved by so many as much
worldwide.
As Michael Jackson.
Worldwide.
Yeah. Worldwide. It was insane.
Right.
I wasn't around for the Beatles, but you know, I heard they were a big deal, but there was four dudes.
Yeah.
MJ,
yeah.
what he was doing in the 80s.
Yeah.
And so you think about it, ultimately, like we're talking about this, like is his legacy tarnished, who's to blame, blah, blah, blah. Ultimately, these parents suck.
Yeah. Yeah, for
because
sure.
Because they jumped on the...
But they were like single moms, I think, who he knew were vulnerable.
No, the dads were definitely around. And Wade's dad and committing suicide.
Right.
The other guy's dad, James Safechuck, he was around too, and he loved MJ. But they
it is their discretion.
It's yeah. 100% their fault. Think about it. You know, these parents were probably 40 something years old, and you're telling them, oh, just to hang out with my kid, we get to fly around the world and do anything we want and hang out with
yeah.
the most famous person in the world. Sure, please, James, fine, hang out with Michael. Hang out with Michael
yeah.
Jackson. He's going to fly us. He's going to pay for our house.
Yeah, that's
I'll pay for a mortgage. And they essentially pimped their children.
Yeah.
So they're the ones to blame.
Yeah, because another thing was during the trial when Wade was being a witness for
yeah.
Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson bought his mom a house.
Oh.
Like in the middle of the whole thing, like he supposedly gave them a loan with a small percentage. And then he was like, you know what? I don't even want the money. Keep the house.
Yeah.
So like the timing is just super suspect. And even the mom was like, yeah, I know when you look back now, it looks crazy.
So ultimately, Natalia, after watching it, like, where do you stand?
You know, I don't know because I don't. Like with the surviving R. Kelly thing, I feel like there was so much more evidence because there were so many more victims.
And all those people are alive.
And yes. there were so many more receipts.
Yes.
Like with the Michael Jackson thing, we don't have as much receipts because
exactly.
it didn't happen in the digital era. So there's no like text messages or
yeah.
videos
right.
or
right.
whatever. So I think that I always stand with victims and I want to believe them, but I can't be, to keep it real, I can't tell you I 100% believe
yeah.
them without a doubt. But I support victims, so, you know, I'm kind of on the fence. As far as MJ personally, I don't know that I could listen to his music and enjoy it as much as I used to.
Damn.
Yeah.
See, that's
wow.
hard. Yeah, see, I'm real close with you on that because I'm conflicted.
Yeah.
I haven't had an opportunity since watching it to, like, sit down or, like, put on an MJ track in my car and see how that feels.
Yeah.
You know, see if I'm going to feel a certain type of way, like, ugh. Like,
yeah.
have thoughts that, like, oh, this dude is a dirtbag.
Yeah.
He could have been doing some really nasty things to the little boys.
Yeah.
You know,
see, but I want to add to that. I understand that, but even it's like the ladies that support R. Kelly still,
mm-hmm.
it's I don't think when they listen to an R. Kelly song, they necessarily go, oh, my gosh, R. Kelly is such a douchebag.
Right.
I think the music hits them first, and they go, oh, I remember when I heard this song, it was... This.
I don't know, though, because remember...
I don't know. Now you hear some of his songs, I'm like, oh, I hear his...
Well, now you're referencing the songs and you're paying extra attention. But, I mean, again, the whole thing with Michael Jackson, and I don't want to sound insensitive. I am
yeah,
not
yeah.
insensitive. I'm...
Yeah, of course.
I'm not. But I've been trained a little bit differently, so I do want to support anyone who is a victim, but I am absolutely based on
facts.
Factual
okay.
events.
You
first.
Need receipts
I
to
do,
really believe
I do.
That...
And I'm sorry, that's just me personally.
Yeah.
No,
the way
no,
I've been,
that.
Like, actually, and I'm not saying something that I learned, it's something I've been trained on.
Right.
So.
Well, one thing, I'll give you an example. In the mix this week, you know, we do the Q Cafe at 12
right.
o'clock. A song came on, like, the day after the documentary aired, and it was SWV right here. You know, that has the
yeah, they have
human
the
nature.
It has the human nature.
So it started, and I looked at CO1, and I go, you're playing Michael Jackson? He's like, relax, it's SWV. But, like, it triggered me. You know what I'm saying? It triggered me, where I was like, what, we can't play this? Like, it triggered me.
But we can't?
No, I'm not.
No, I know,
I'm not
but
saying
like,
you can't, but I'm
but
saying
like,
for me, I was triggered. I was like, Michael Jackson. Yeah, I don't know.
That
I don't
sucks
know.
Sucks that we have that feeling now.
Yeah.
That really sucks.
Yeah.
So, well, moving on to when you mentioned R. Kelly.
Yeah.
After hearing a little bit of R. Kelly, after all his stuff that's been going on, when I hear his music now, he sounds like the horniest dude of all time.
He sounds like such a perv, because when he was feeling and on we your definitely, booty.
Yeah, and everything. Like, everything. I mean, back then it was fun.
Right.
Well, now it just seems like, damn, this is a horny dude.
You know, I graduated in 94 and I went to prom, obviously, that year. That's when 12 Play was released. Mm-hmm. And those songs from A through Z, he's basically telling a horny ass story the 100%. Whole
and,
time.
Yeah.
And
he's a great storyteller.
And now that I think about it, 12 Play, like, I got it. You know how he does that one, he goes through the whole thing, and you're going, what was in this guy's head?
Or what about the song when he goes, feels like you ready?
I know. Yeah.
And no, you listen to it, you're like, oh, is he talking about a little girl? Like, what is he, like, oh.
No, but then you reflect on Aaliyah, AJ, nothing but a number,
all of them.
It's crazy.
But what do you guys think about his appearance with Robin Roberts? Like, how he stood up, and he hooting and hollering, he crying.
Gail King.
On Friday night, or what did I say, Robin Roberts?
Yeah.
I meant Gail King.
Yeah, Gail King.
And then on tonight, on Friday, they're going to have that 1 hour special and show the whole interview.
Media stunt.
Yeah.
I just don't believe it. I saw part of this on CNN too, where they were saying the two girls that are the in living girlfriend and the other girl and that supposedly they didn't know that he was supposed to be there. But then that they mentioned that while they were doing the interview, R. Kelly was around the hall going like coughing loud. So they're like, wait a minute, he is here.
Yeah, because Gail had said that he promised to not be in the room when she interviewed the girls, but he still walked in the middle of the interview when she was interviewing the girls.
And
if you listen to them, they were very scripted. And this morning it came out that, remember the girl Dominique that was in the Surviving R. Kelly, the girl that looked like a boy or whatever? So she's still out. She's home with her family. And she said that R. Kelly used to have the girls rehearse what to say to the media.
I believe that 100%.
On video. So, like, all of their answers were trained. And when, like, Gail asked them, like, so are you guys in, like, a three-way? And the girl got
so
super
defensive.
Upset and got really rude and, like, belligerent. And I'm thinking, wow, like, Gail could be your mom. Like, you're being so disrespectful. Like, they're just so lost in the sauce. Like, I really feel like they're in their own world.
To me, after watching it, I felt like R. Kelly has been quiet and arrogant this whole time until this moment. So it's like, okay, you know what, now your life's on the line. I don't know who his publicist is or agent is, like, they must have told him, okay, now you might as well show your ass.
It's a reality check. I think it finally
okay, now you want to show your ass and get wild and act all crazy and emotional. It's too late,
right?
You know, before he was sitting back smoking his cigars.
Yeah.
You know,
still doing concerts.
Yeah, doing. You know, we heard
our appearances.
Him.
Yeah.
He's saying stuff like, you know, there might be a bunch of you that hate me, but there's still millions that love me, and you know, talking like that. But it's just too late, it's just meme worthy to me.
So I looked into it, right? And I read an article where, like, a body language specialist analyzed his action in the interview. And they said he was being deceitful. He didn't answer any of the questions. And they gave a few examples because Gail said, well, do you date young girls? And he said something like, well, why would I do that? But he didn't say no. And, like, he diverts from, like, all the questions, and his body language showed that he was being deceitful. But I think that he did the interview trying to tell his side of the story to gain sympathy, and it did the complete opposite. He came off as arrogant, unbelievable, aggressive,
and played
a liar,
the victim.
Played the victim. And then, like, the whole thing with his kids. So now he's still sitting in jail because of child support. They're not letting him out unless he pays $161,000 in child support, right? He doesn't have it, so he's crying, saying everybody done robbed him. He cried about not having a relationship with his kids. But if you watch Surviving R. Kelly, Drea says that she's open to it. But he just didn't hit them up.
Right.
He just disappeared. And he changed his phone number. He didn't call them. Mm. Like, not even on their birthdays or Christmas was R. Kelly reaching out to his children. Yeah, yeah. But he's on TV with Gail crying about not having a relationship. His daughter went on the gram the next day after the Surviving R. Kelly doc and said, my dad has not spoken to me in however long or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Hey,
it's a desperate man.
So I know nothing good should come out of this, you know, other than the fact that he should be, in, you know, put in jail and everything.
Yeah.
But here's my favorite part about it. And this is the internet always winning. They said that him crying might be the meme that finally takes over the Michael Jordan crying meme.
There's no way. That Michael Jackson, that MJ, that Jordan,
the Jordan crying meme has been on forever.
If that gets retired for R. Kelly.
Like, I saw it, I think it was,
why y'all doing this to me? Why y'all doing? Look, is that camera on me?
Robert?
Is that camera on me? Why y'all doing this?
But I saw
it's not about the music. It's about my children. Ooh, yeah. That sounds like he's going to break out in song. It's a lie. I believe it's a lie.
So many people supported that. Like, they were reposting that. That might be the meme that finally takes over the crying Michael Jordan.
Well, we ain't seen nothing yet because there's an hour of him crying about to drop tonight. So,
okay, this might be a silly question. All right, so what happens if he somehow beats this case?
I don't think he won.
There's no okay, what happened?
Well, there's like a few different cases. That's the thing, right?
So he's got aren't they all in one though?
Well, there's the child support. There's a child support case. There's the case in Chicago, but now there's another case being worked on in Atlanta, and supposedly the Chicago police are working with other women to give him even more charges on this. Okay, so I think he's got a long road ahead of him. Yeah, in jail.
That's too much. What a week, man.
But remember, also now more lately, it seems like prosecuting a celebrity has become a bit easier.
Right, like putting them on the cross, like every time they make a mistake. And they're just humans like us, like people
absolutely
make mistakes.
So I think that's setting that expectation now. Like if he goes, you know, they're going to be, well, it's okay. We sent Bill Cosby. We sent this. We sent this. We did all this stuff. So, you know, I think it'll happen now. It's a possibility.
Well, I think that we're just in an age of authenticity and transparency.
I mean, Trump might be out soon, too.
Right. But, like, back in the 80s and 90s, it was all about image. It was all about having the look. It was all about, like, people cared more about that than they did being authentic and transparent. Mm-hmm. And in our society now, everything needs to be authentic and transparent. And I think that's why there's such a call to action to do something about all this, you know, corruption with these men like Bill Cosby and R. Kelly and Michael Jackson and whatever. But another sad thing this week, Luke Perry, 90210.
Sorry, ladies.
I know. He played Dylan. That was like my boo when I was in junior high. Like, I was in love with him. I had a poster of him in my room.
Yeah, what was his girlfriend's name? Brenda?
Brenda. Shannon Doherty. It was Brenda.
Did you guys name all the characters?
Nope.
It was Dylan, Brenda, Kelly.
Kelly. What was Brian Austin Green's name?
David. Wasn't it David?
Was he David? All I know is the zip code.
Hold on, I'm gonna Google it. But okay, so here's the thing. I feel like it's really sad what happened to Luke Perry that he died of a stroke at 52. That's super tragic.
That's another dude who was a big part of a lot of people's childhoods. Yeah, all of us, you know.
Yeah,
that show was huge in our household.
Mine too. But when I look back at it, like now as an adult, I'm like, wow, like they never had any type of representation on that show. I don't remember seeing somebody on the show that looked like me.
The thing is,
when I look back on it, right?
The thing is, I knew that at the time. I was so excited. Like, my sister loved it a little bit much. I have an older sister.
Yeah.
She was a little bit into it a little bit more than I was, but I watched it with her.
Yeah.
And I knew it then. We were so excited that when there was an episode when there was a black kid, this new black family moved in the neighborhood. And there was a young black teenager, and then there was a teenage boy and a teenage girl. It's a younger boy, older teenage girl. And the teenage boy was like a nerdy guy with glasses. And I think the teenage girl was a little black girl that, what was Jason Priestley's character's name again?
Brandon Walsh.
Brandon Walsh liked her. And I was like, oh, cool. And I remember they moved to town because the dad was the inventor of some popcorn company.
I remember. So that like left an impact on you, right? Because it was a black family.
Yeah, because I don't remember.
Right. No one would remember that.
But there was a black family that moved in the neighborhood. And I was like, oh, okay, are they going to be around? No, just one episode.
Yeah. But that was probably a lot back then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was not. I mean, the show was dope. It was cool because they hit a lot of topics that you know, they weren't hitting for teenagers.
Right, like drinking. There was a rape episode. I remember that one when Kelly got raped at like a party or something like that.
Remember the whole condoms and stuff in schools, that kind of stuff. So it was big, you know, for society back
then. And at that time, you didn't talk about like rape culture and stuff like that. So that was a really big deal, I think, for women, for young women, for teenage girls, that they did tackle those issues. Yeah, for sure.
See, so from a guy's perspective, the reason why, like, Luke Perry to me, he was like the modern day Fonzie for me.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I grew up, you know, on Happy Days.
Yeah.
But to me, he was like the, you know, he was always the cool guy. He had the leather jacket. He was
those sideburns.
Women loved him. Everybody loved him. Yeah. Like, he was just the cool guy to be.
He like was Johnny Depp. Like that was like that look back then of those like bad boys of James Dean, like that, you know, sleek back hair.
Now that you have your phone out, do you remember this? We didn't talk about this, but remember all the characters were so old playing
teenagers. Yes. Yeah. What's her name? Andrea Zuckerman, the lady that played her, Gabrielle. She was like 27, playing like a 16-year-old.
She was the one with the glasses, right?
Yeah. Everybody was outraged. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Luke Perry might have been a little old.
He was older, yeah, for sure. He was, because think about it, he's 52 now. The 90210 was, what, 20 years ago? So he was like, damn, wait a minute.
Yeah, he's in his 20s, definitely in his 20s somewhere.
Maybe 25 30. Years, because I was a teenager. Let's say 25 years.
Like 93.
Okay, so that's, let's do some math. I'm not good at math.
Yeah, 28.
28 years?
26. Yeah.
26.
Yeah, so he was old as hell playing a teenager, too.
Yeah, yeah, we can do the math.
Kind of weird.
We can do the math if you want. He was 20, like 24.
Yeah, and then Donna, what's her name? Tori Spelling was a terrible actress. Her character was so dumb.
Yeah, but her dad read it.
I know, I know. She had the job by default.
She wasn't very attractive. We called her Buffy, me and my sister.
Oh, that's like, mean.
What? What is Buffy?
I don't know.
To me, she's a vampire slayer.
She just looked like a Buffy. She just looked like a Buffy.
That's what I was
to me, you say Buffy, and I'm
no, not a vampire slayer, but she just looked like Buffy. I shouldn't have said that.
It's okay.
Caught it out.
It's all right.
But no, think about that, though. Back then.
Yeah.
Like 90210, once 90210 came out, then it sparked shows like 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
Now, I loved 21 Jump Street. Mm-hmm. You remember that show?
Do I remember it? Okay. Why do you think I wanted to be a cop?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I saw, so ever since I was a kid, I would, when I would go to the toy store or whatever, I would always be the kid to get the police badges, the toy, you know, handcuffs, all that stuff. And, you know, I had a very, like, my background obviously was growing up very poor around bad neighborhoods. And I was a kid that was like, no, I'm going to grow up and be a cop.
Aww.
And you know how you still, like, you tell your kid you're going to be a cop, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously, as I mentioned earlier, and I don't like to talk about it much anymore these days, but that was my background. And I was like, that's it. I'm going to be the guy on 21 Jump Street. I'm going to be one of these characters. I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. And I truly, that, to me, that show is everything.
Wow.
Everything to me.
Yeah. So what'd you think about when they did the movie?
On the comedic side, it's cool.
Yeah.
On you know, especially because it was, you know, Ice Cube and all these big actors. Yeah. But I thought on the comedic side, it was fine.
Yeah.
The show was dope.
It did not represent the show what it is. Yeah. It represented the, you know, like the fact that you're sending someone into high school or whatever. But I think the show was amazing because a lot of that stuff, I ended up, when I had an assignment or...
Did you ever go undercover?
I didn't go undercover.
Okay.
But I did go back to my old high school to check on kids.
Oh.
As...
How old were you?
As a juvenile... maybe I want to say later in my 20s.
Okay.
So you went back like what? Like checking on kids?
Yeah, yeah,
like...
kids who were on probation or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, which is kind of crazy, you know.
Was that weird?
It was absolutely weird to show up to my old high school. But anyhow, I don't like to talk about it because people have so many, they're so 50-50 on law enforcement these days.
Yeah.
But in essence of that, 21 Jump Street, again, to me was everything.
Like to me, I think the casting for that show was pretty remarkable. They had a little bit of everything in there.
Yeah. I don't think
they had Puerto Rican.
I don't think they had a black dude, though. They had a black girl. They had Holly
Robinson
Pete.
Yes.
They had the Asian dude.
Yes.
Remember the Asian
dude? Yeah, with the slick hair.
Yes. And like back then, they didn't really have that many Asian dudes represented.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Who was the Puerto Rican?
The main cop guy. Was he Puerto Rican?
No, the main cop was Johnny Depp.
Oh, it was Johnny Depp. Oh, I thought they had a Puerto Rican.
There was a Puerto Rican in New York Undercover.
Yeah.
That's another show.
Those are very similar
shows.
Yeah, you're right. It was Johnny Depp, the Asian dude.
And then there was
I looked that up, too.
There was like a fat check dude. Oh, we're so unprepared. I feel like we can't just be Googling the whole show.
That's fine.
But all 90s shows, man.
Yeah, New York Undercover was another one. That one was, I think, this is all Fox television programs, too.
But see, like, New York Undercover was right there with all the films that we're going to talk about in a little bit. But, you know, with, like, the whole New Jack City stuff, with all that. I mean, that whole New York vibe was super cool just as well, the East Coast vibe.
East Coast, but the way that show was able to build, you know, the crime and the drama, and then with the hip hop,
the music is what got me on that show. They used to play like Mobb Deep and Wu Tang and Biggie,
and they would have a live performer at that lounge or whatever they would go to.
But it was still like a drama.
Crime and drama, and it got really, really good.
Yeah.
And what was his name?
Malik Yoba.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then the Puerto Rican brother, and then they have the Puerto Rican lady.
Yep. Yeah.
Man, that show.
Yeah, they would always end up at the lounge, and it'd be like guy performing or something.
Yeah. Yes, man.
They're making that show over, you know.
Living That's Single?
That's good. No, New Living York Single. Undercover. Oh, what? Do you want to see Living Single?
I had Living Single in my head.
Joe.
I had Living Single in my head. For some reason, I was like, should I bring up Living Single?
Well, we're talking 90s shows. Maybe yeah. That's why.
I had it in my head. I'm like, should I bring that up?
So what is the 90s show you want to be remade? Living Single?
No. Actually,
maybe.
Actually,
it wouldn't be bad.
Actually, that might not be bad. You remember that show?
But yeah, but so there was in the 90s. What reflects for me is that there were two types of shows. There were like the cool sitcoms and stuff like that, and there were the comedic shows like In Living Color.
Right. Well, sitcom is a comedy.
No, but like In Living Color was all like acting, like.
Well, it was like a comedy show more so, like a sketch, like SNL.
Are you?
Right.
Well, you guys are confusing me now. There's sitcoms, but then there was like the family ones. Like you're talking. Are you talking about those?
No, just in general. Like, In Living Color was clearly like.
Oh.
That was like a comedy show, not a sitcom.
There's a comedy type show.
So, like, what about like Family Matters? That's like.
I love Family sitcom. Matters.
Yeah, that was a good. Yeah. See, like, why are there no shows? Like, there was so much inclusion. I feel like back then. Think about all these shows. I mean, Living Single, Family Matters, New York Undercover. I mean, do we have shows like that on TV now? I'm thinking Blackish, Adultish.
Adultish. You mean Grownish?
Or Grownish? Yeah. Grownish, Blackish.
Damn.
I don't know that there's any shows
Oh, there probably is, but we don't watch them. Like, isn't like how like those nerdy people we talked about, like the Bang Bang Theory?
But I'm talking about shows. But we're talking about shows that reflected more of a diverse cast. Think about all the 90s shows that
Family Matters was all black.
Yeah, but they still had white friends. Like, there were some white people on the show.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was almost.
But, like, think about how many black. Well, you just named, like, 20 black shows. There's not that many on TV now.
Oh, is that what you're asking?
I don't know. That's not what I'm asking. I'm just saying, like, you're making me think about that now.
I thought you were asking about, like, the family show. Because remember, like, Who's the Boss?
Yes. That was a great show. Yeah. I like that.
Remember,
show.
Like, Growing Pains?
Yes. I watched that one too.
You know what I'm saying?
I was in love with Kirk Cameron.
That's what I'm talking. I was in love with who was Tony Danza's daughter?
Alyssa
Milano.
Wait,
oh,
what about Topanga?
God.
Did you like Topanga back in the day?
I liked it when she got grown. She got thick.
Wait, what was the name of Alan Thicke was in, like, one of the older ones, right?
He was in Growing Pains.
He was the dad. Growing Pains.
Oh, my God. He was so good.
Yeah, he was like that.
So
yeah.
I wasn't sure if we were talking about like the family sitcom.
We're naming all of these really cool 90s shows. Mm-hmm. And it's just making me think about what's on TV now, like on the networks. Because all of the shows we're talking about, like you were saying, were on Fox. Like Fox was that network that was like for the culture back then.
Yeah,
and now, like, you don't really have as much shows like that, right?
Yeah,
no.
Unless we don't watch that much TV. I don't know.
We might not watch it.
Not on the networks. I mean, I like Insecure on HBO.
Okay. Is there shows that follow the dynamic of families anymore? Is that what we're asking?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of family shows.
There is?
Really?
Yeah.
Which
there's,
one?
There's, what's that
I
one
know
that everybody
like
watches?
Mom.
On Tuesday. What's that show that everybody watches? It's really, This Is Us. That's a huge one. And that's a really good written, diverse cast.
Oh, you know what?
But it's just not sitcom.
No,
way.
Not like that funny ha-ha-ha with the laugh like track. Yeah.
Wait, you know which one is really diverse and is very
Million
comedic?
Little Things? You watch that?
No.
That's a good one.
The one watch with that. The one that Al Bundy's now.
Married with Children?
No. He's the current one. The one. He's
oh,
married to the.
Modern Family.
Modern Family. Yeah. Talk about diversity.
That's a good talk about diversity.
That's a good
Some
show.
People don't like it. I like it.
I love it.
It's got a gay couple. It's got them.
It's super diverse.
You know, what's her face? Beautiful woman, the actress.
Sofia Vergara.
Sofia Vergara, yeah.
Yeah.
The kids, that's a great fit. That's a great show.
Yeah, 100%.
Blackish, I think, is a great family
so,
show.
So, I'm sorry, I got confused. You're just talking about the whole diversity of having, like, you know, a family show that's of color.
Well,
is that
not,
what you're talking about?
No, I was just, you
I'm
were
so
naming,
confused.
I know, because I think we're going left. You were naming all of these TV shows from back in the day,
yeah.
And it just made my mind start thinking about how we had all of these shows that were like for hip-hop, that played hip-hop,
family
that were
or
for
not,
the culture.
They were very cultural.
Family or not,
yes.
Right, they were diverse. Okay.
But the 90s shows were so dope.
Yeah, I wasn't asking a question, but I was just making a comment, I guess.
Well, there was like, I feel like they all get cut off. They all get... Remember Lil Rel tried to have one?
Isn't it still on? It got cut off already?
I'm telling you guys, I still watch all those. I still watch Martin every night. I still watch the Jamie Foxx show, which is more 2000s. But, you know, I still watch Friends, which to me is...
I never watched Friends or Seinfeld. I did not get either one of them.
I was never a Seinfeld person.
One of my goals is to one day go into one of those, like a showing at one of the downtown lounges where they do like Friends night and they do... like questions and stuff.
Oh, are you could do the trivia?
I can do Friends trivia all day, all night. I can tell you all the times they hooked up.
That's awesome.
Ready? Name three characters from Friends right now.
I didn't watch.
Okay, name Phoebe?
Rachel, Joey, and Chandler.
Come on, cheater. We know you.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Phoebe. You named everybody.
No, I named 3 out of 6.
Carlos.
Joey.
Carlos. Jamal.
There was definitely a Carlos was not on the show.
There was no Jamal.
There was no Jamal.
What are they?
Joey.
Who's Rachel? Rachel.
Rachel.
Rachel is Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Monica.
Jennifer Love.
Phoebe, Rachel, Monica, Joey, Chandler, and
we're never talking about
the
TV
white folks
again.
Messed
never.
Up. That's so bad.
All right.
Yeah, let's keep it moving. Bojo, you wanted to talk about the story about the owner of the San Francisco Giants,
yes,
right?
Yes, I was going to pull up the whole damn story, but I'll just get, you know, make it quick for you. It happened last week, actually a week ago. A lot of people aren't talking about this story. The owner and CEO of the San Francisco Giants was caught on video in an altercation with his wife.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a very unfortunate, like, video. It looks terrible. It's basically him snatching his phone away from his wife. It looks like his wife is holding out. They're at a park.
Right.
She's sitting down at a table. He's standing up. He reaches over her and snatches his phone back.
And
they're cursing
over.
Back and forth. And she ends up tipping over, makes a scene. They have to make a public apology. And I think he took a leave of absence. I have the story in front of me. It's taking a long time to pull up or whatever. But that's it. So I'm thinking to myself, this story didn't make that much headlines, but can you imagine? This is a, like, you know, billionaire type of dude snatching his phone away from his wife. There's a couple of things you can think about. Like, what was in his phone that he was trying to hide hard?
You know what was in his phone.
And then it made me think, like, yo, how serious are we with our phones, with our significant others? It's never been that serious. So obviously, you know, he has some shit going on.
Look, we're all in relationships.
Some sneaky sneaks.
Yeah.
Sneaks.
So, but it just comes to show you, look what happened with the Giants owner, right? So, look what he was up to, all the stuff that he was up to. Or, excuse me, the Patriots owner.
Robert Kraft.
Yeah.
So just imagine he's also someone who's potentially out there doing whatever. But, like, I know, you know, us three, we're married, and I have no issue if my wife, like, as a matter of fact, you know, my wife would be like, hey, so-and-so texted you, or so-and-so this and that. She has my passcode to my phone. So does my son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my son, you know, I leave my phone like, whatever, because I have an Apple Watch. So if I get a text, I just read it. But they have access to all that stuff.
Is there ever a time that, like, you would be like, oh, snap, I don't want my wife looking at my phone? Like, does it, because something, not because you're up to anything bad, but something could be misunderstood?
For sure.
No, because not in my case. I think I'm pretty clear with a lot of my stuff. Yeah. I think, you know, she does understand the industry that we're in, and we get hit up, especially, you know, being in the radio.
Yeah.
We get hit up like, hey, I saw that you're giving away Disneyland tickets, like some random girl that I don't know. And she'll understand that.
Yeah.
Same way with her. I know her passcode. I mean, my wife is not as tech savvy as I am, so I set up half of her stuff anyways. Right. You know, and, you know, I go, my Instagram name, you know, quick shameless plug is DJCO1, but she goes by Mrs. CO1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you think I'm hiding anything? No, it's pretty obvious that she's my wife. Unless she's
I think I'm along the same lines you're talking about. I think all of, like you said, we're all married and we all have children. I think in that case, I have a young child. My wife can get in my, she has my passcode easy. I have hers because we have a child who uses our phone. That's one way we get our child to calm down. Okay, we can go to YouTube for it, whatever.
Yeah.
Am I comfortable all the time? There's been a time in life where I wasn't because I didn't know what other people could send to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's what I mean.
I'm not at a point in time in my life now that's like I'm way fine with that. None of that kind of stuff has happened. But there has been a time where there's been thoughts hitting up my stuff. And, you know, and it was up to me how I want to entertain it or not. Whether, you know.
Exactly. You just hit the nail right
you know, and sometimes I would entertain it, not like on some dirtbag stuff, but like, oh, okay, cool. You feeling me?
And this
you know,
is
making
why,
me, hype, you know.
Stroking your ego a little bit.
A little bit.
And this is why I'm not on Snapchat because.
I'm not a Snapchat dude.
Yeah.
You know, like, they tend to feel like they have more flexibility to send you stuff.
Because it'll disappear.
And I've never really been on Snapchat, but I set up an account one time, and I'm like, this isn't for me. But then everybody else, like, all our single friends around this building are like,
I was on Snapchat for a while trying to, keep the social media going.
Yeah, of course, because it's part of what we do.
Yeah, but then it's just like I realized, okay, it's more... seemed like more of a single thing, how people were reaching right. out to each other.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't really need to.
For me, Sean definitely has my password to my phone, and our daughter uses our phone, and he definitely has access, but I don't like him in my phone. I don't like him reading my text messages. I don't like him in my Instagram account. I don't want him in any of my social media because I think he gets upset or jealous or whatever, because being in radio, you guys know, yeah. ladies, step to you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's like random people that'll be like, hey, beautiful or whatever. Yeah. And he'll right. like take it personal or think, and I'm like, babe, it's just a listener. Or like, it's just, you know, somebody that I maybe met in an event. Yes. Like, it's not like that.
But on
that.
His defense, that's the human thing. Like, that's the human reaction.
Yeah, and it's our job also when those are listeners to be kind back.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes we have to, you know, like, why would you accept that person? Because they're right. a listener.
Yeah.
You know, we need
they're
them.
Like our extended family.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll get a fitness girl. Boom. Just so-and-so just followed you.
Yeah.
Because of this industry that we're in, I follow back.
But here's the...
Even if they're 800 pounds, I'm following back, you know, fitness or not. Fitness or not. You can't just say only the hot chicks.
No, but the reason why I'm saying this is because I'm sure my wife or any other
yes.
woman would tend to be more... Like, hey, why is this hot girl following you?
I don't know. I don't like him in my phone. I don't like him reading my texts. I got friends that tell me a lot of their business sometimes. Ooh. And sure. I don't want him, like, reading that and then thinking something different of my friends, especially when my friends are up to no good.
Yeah.
Because I'm like that friend out of the group that everybody asks for advice. Or they, like, tell me everything, even if I don't ask for it. So, like, I don't always want other people's business. And, like, he's very, I don't know, I just think it's not always a good idea for your relationship to, like, share everything.
I don't know. Okay, if my wife grabs my phone, let's say, there's been times like, hey, oh my, look at this. And I'll give her the phone to check something on my Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, you can keep on looking at the Instagram, but I don't know if she's really going to go get out of that and go into something else.
Right. Right. And do you know what
no,
I do
like
too?
My text.
Do you know what I do do though? He not allowed to have Instagram and none of that stuff. I mean,
Sean?
He has an Instagram.
Sean?
Yes, he has an Instagram.
You, don't let your husband
you know what
Instagram?
I do? I'm crazy. Listen what I do. Like, he'll start following like all these random IG thoughts, and I'll go in when he's not paying attention, and I'll unfollow like all the girls that he follows that post like thirst traps all day. And he'll come back and he'll be like, "What'd you do to my thing?" Because he don't even remember their names. He just knows that they post sexy pictures.
My God, you are crazy.
I'll unfollow them, and then I don't let him like comment on any of my stuff. Or like my stuff. Yeah. And he don't post nothing
either. I didn't know this side of Natalia.
He can't comment on your stuff?
No.
Why?
Because I just would rather him be private. Because we had an incident in the past where like girls were like trying to DM him, you know. And just to avoid it, I'm just like.
So you don't want him to just be out there at all?
No, he's only.
Does he have Instagram?
Yeah, but he can only lurk. He can't post and he can't like. And if he
can't post?
No.
Oh, Natalia.
It's not like I'm mad.
You're crazy.
I'm Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
See.
Oh,
I'm
my
Latina.
God. This is amazing.
Like, my thing on my post.
Wow.
I do my post, and my wife half the time goes on there and puts hearts and, this is cool, babe, or something.
Yeah.
I don't care. I want that. I'd rather she be involved in what I do all the time.
That's the norm.
And then there's Natalia's norm.
That's the norm, bro.
Listen.
I have pictures with females in there and Heidi's liking it. Or she's kind of clowning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm crazy.
Oh my God,
I'll admit it.
All right, well, let's keep it moving now that we know who Natalia
see,
really
what,
is.
Well, we're still talking about sports. What you got with the lights coming?
Oh, man. Okay, so Las Vegas Lights FC, pro soccer team right here in Vegas. Regular season debut. Tomorrow, Saturday, 7:30 p.m., Cashman Field. They're no longer sharing the stadium with the Aviators.
It's just a soccer field.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, like the Lights are named the most interesting team in the world by Sports Illustrated.
Oh!
And they kept it going by the owner and CEO, Brett Lashbrook, going viral yesterday, or earlier this week, guaranteeing that the team would win. He came out and said, "I'm making a bold statement. Las Vegas Lights FC are playing against Austin Bold, and I'm making a bold statement saying I'm guaranteeing they're going to win. If we do not win, everybody in the stadium will get a free ticket to the next home game.
And a beer.
He didn't throw the beer.
No, but he's,
know the host. We know the host.
Yeah. I'll get you a beer. But that's why.
That's very confident.
Yes, that's very confident. That's very aggressive. That's a bold statement for it an really owner is. To make. But he's confident, and I felt like, okay, that's cool. And I thought it might be a little bit too much pressure on the players. I like that confidence. I like it. Yeah. I thought it might be a little bit too much pressure on the players, but they like it.
No,
they're
backing them up.
They're backing them up. So Saturday night, get out there.
When is it preseason or did the season start yet?
That's what I'm saying. Saturday's going to be regular season
debut.
That's
the first. That's the regular first
game. That might have to be my first lights game.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yes,
it's
might as well be there. And hopefully they win. Yeah. We hope they win, but if they lose, you're going free for the next one.
Okay, and then what do we got for hip-hop history? Because I know some cool stuff happened this week.
Yeah, so you know what's really dope is we mentioned it a little bit earlier, but New Jack City was released this week, March 8th to be exact, 1991.
Wow.
I was, bada-boop, I was a freshman, end of my freshman year in high school. This movie, along with some others that we mentioned, like Juice, even the TV shows, I mean, such a big impact in the culture in general.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a movie that as a matter of fact, I just had Christopher Williams on the phone with us 2 weeks ago, who plays the light-skinned dude that handles all the money. And, you know, he's obviously a singer himself. But it's stuff that I will take to the grave because it's meant so much to me. So it was cool that it came out in 1991.
Crazy.
And, wow, it's been a long time. I want to mention this week also, De La Soul released their single, A Roller Skating Gem. Saturday, right? But even bigger than that, lately, De La Soul has been beefing with Tommy Boy Records because Tommy Boy Records has ownership to, like, their, I forget how many, like, their first four albums.
I think their whole catalog
almost, I don't think all of it, but at least most of it.
Yeah.
And lately, you know, a lot of people these days make a lot of their money from streaming revenue now, inclusive of Spotify, Apple Music, all that stuff. So now that all of this music is available to stream and it's available like remastered and everything for De La Soul, so Tommy Boy wants to put it out, but they basically, the bottom line is they don't want to pay De La Soul,
right? That's they're taking like 90% of the
they're taking almost all of the money, and publishing is the biggest part of, you know, it's in publishing and concerts, right? That's where a lot of the artists make or the artists for the most part make their money. But De La Soul has been getting everybody's back, like everyone supporting them.
Are they able to do this legally?
Well, it depends on what's, I'm sure, in the fine print.
The contracts, yeah.
But what people are so, the reason why people are going crazy is because they're like, Tommy Boy, this is De La Soul.
Like, put some respect on their name.
All of us grew up on De La Soul. They were, I mean, you know, just from the name alone, if you've seen, they have the, De La Soul has a documentary you can check out on YouTube. And it is amazing about how they came up. Yeah, and because they just released a new album like a year and a half ago. So, which I actually, they were struggling a little bit in finance. So they had one of those like GoFundMe type accounts. And I went in there and I was one of the guys who donated a decent amount. Not decent like in thousands, but I, and so they sent me like a little gifting thing.
Oh,
and
that's
so
nice.
I'm a big De La Soul fan.
That's what's
and in general, on the side of like radio, I'm also really good friends with some of the people at Tommy Boy Records. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm taking the fan side first because De La Soul shaped so much of what is around now.
I think it's just a complicated situation because the contracts that they set up back then, nobody could foresee that streaming and the way we consume music was going to change so much. Because, you know, it was the 90s. They couldn't, I think, so the contracts were probably set up so that Tommy Boy has ownership forever with De La Soul not anticipating. But I think that record labels need to take a step back and kind of reevaluate that.
But this is respect more than anything.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like Tommy Boy should take into consideration that the deal was made 20-something years ago.
Right.
So, like, how can they make it work for everybody?
Exactly.
Because right now the industry hates them. Like, a lot of artists are commenting. Joe Budden was crying on Revolt.
Big
artists. Yeah.
Like, you know, the Diddy's of the world.
Yeah.
But if I were Tommy Boy Records, I'd be like, look, let's work out the deal. And guess what? Let's put you out there again because, you know, as we mentioned, throwbacks are so big, that 90s era, that 2000, early 2000 era. It's so big right now that they can monetize that in many, many different ways. That, you know, obviously the streaming revenues, going on in concerts, even just doing like appearances, meet and greets. They can both benefit from that. And De La Soul are more than willing to work with it, but they need to make their cut.
I think this might be a mixed blessing for them. In that they were having the situation behind the scenes and they took the social media to air out Tommy Boy, and and now is
Instagram,
when
baby.
Right, and so social media, now all the fans and the industry and all the big wigs are like them. Supporting them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
now it brings more attention to it, which is going to help them, I think, get a better, you know, result or whatever.
Yeah, because if it wasn't for social media, yeah, they
like, how would their fans know? Yeah. Exactly.
And it could have exposed to a lot of the younger generation now. Let's be like, oh, let's check out this De La Soul group.
Right.
Next week, can we talk about B2K?
Yeah. With the Millennium back. Tour?
Yeah. Let's talk about that. I think that's hilarious.
Okay. Well, yeah, because we're done, right? Great
yeah.
episode.
Shout outs. Any shout outs real quick?
Any shout outs to someone?
No, I mean, I think I'm good for this week.
Hey, shout out to Vegas Golden Knights.
Yes.
5-game winning streak. They just beat Calgary Flames. They got a big matchup tomorrow night. T-Mobile Arena, so should be a good look.
International Women's Day today, hey. So shout out to all the ladies, all the independent ladies. Yeah. One day equality, it's coming. It's on
it's
the way.
It's not here yet, huh?
It's not here yet, but it's definitely yeah. on the way because strong women, you know, we're taking a stand nowadays. And
who runs the world?
Girls, yeah.
Who runs the world?
Oh, you know, I'm sorry. I do want to mention something.
Okay.
Such a shameless plug again, but April 20th, I'm 420, I'm doing 80s night again at Brooklyn Bowl.
Nice.
And this event is usually free. Come on out. There's a lot of things to expect from it. If you just like that cool 80s music, inclusive of disco, reggae, classic rock, hip hop, it's a free event and we're always out there.
Nice. All right, 420, let's do it.
And we're taking a break next week. Bojo, you're on vacation, but we'll be back
the following week.
Yes, so we'll be back with a nice tan.
Yep. I'll have a remix for you guys. I believe I can lie.
I can't. Thanks, guys.
I did the cross eyes and everything.
Oh.